Hey, it's Packaging Unboxed with Avelio Montos. Check it out. Today, we are talking to Kevin Russell. Kevin Russell is amazing. He's a great illustrator, designer, creative director of Dark Forces. He does a ton of stuff, does posters. You name it, this guy does it. Now, what we're talking about today is not the dark stuff that he does on Dark Forces, but what we're talking about is Midjourney, how he's using it, what he's doing with it, some of the questions that he has around it, some of the prompts that he's using, what he's learned, what he's wanting to learn. And I kind of do the same thing. I got a ton of questions around this thing. I've been using it a ton. I've launched Packaging AI on LinkedIn. If you're following me, that's awesome. If you're not, go follow me. But we're going to figure some things out. He's going to share everything that he's learned. I'm going to share what I've learned. That anything that you have questions about, throw them in the comments. Just throw them down below. And if you're listening to this versus watching this, go watch it. We've got Kevin Russell from Dark Forces. Give us a quick rundown on who Kevin Russell is.
I'm sort of a London-based designer, and we've been in advertising for 25 years, I suppose, now. And in 2012, I set up on my own, and I'm trying to sort of pursue what I enjoy doing rather than what somebody else wants me to do. I'm kind of in that space at the moment. I want to do more of that. So I think the AI thing is coming on quite naturally, and it feels one of those areas, like when the internet first started, it feels like you need to be there, you know? You'd be crazy to keep out of it, and we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know how it's going to land. We don't know if we're, you know, onto a small window of opportunity here, and it might be closed quite quickly in some respects because of the legal issue. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, at the moment, I'm playing, I suppose, and experimenting and seeing what pops out the other side, but with the goal to kind of make it usable and relevant, and because there's an awful lot of noise out there with this at the moment. And and people playing, and it's all a bit kind of up in the air and not very directed. So I think this is a great tool for like an art director and a creative director to use, because you've kind of got the vision to create something at the other side, rather than lots and lots of kind of anthropomorphic creatures, which we're seeing loads off at the moment. But And how are you using it as well?
Yeah, so I'm focused on just packaging design, right? So my everything I do is packaging, and it's kind of the same thing, right? It's like I can pull a brief and I can throw the brief in there, like some keywords of the brief, and it'll give me like a quick mirror of, you know, is this what you mean?
Yeah,
right. Because it doesn't care. It has no, it's got no bias. It's just these are the words. What the words that you typed in mean. Here, right? So like when you get a brief and you've got certain terminology in there, people have different, you know, they attach different visualizations to some of these different words. So true. And it might be different from yours.
Yeah, I mean, my experience is it's kind of like it's a little bit fumbling around in the dark in some respect, and you don't know quite what's going to happen, but you quite often you have a vision of what you do on the other side, and that's not always quite a good idea. Sometimes it's quite good to leave it reasonably broad and to see what happens and see where it takes you. But you do need to have some kind of idea of what you want, I think, before you go in. Mm. If you go in there, you could easily spend, you know, a whole evening, a whole day just wowing yourself into kind of, you know, into nothing land. It is jaw-dropping. And now and again, you get those moments where you do something and comes out and you do genuinely lose your breath on it. You're just like, wow. And I think those moments are kind of where, you know, where I need to be, but also directed as well, you know. And I was playing with it last night, and I was doing some infographics because I'm not really trying to do that, and it does it really well apparently. And you can see the link now from there's that point you get to as a designer where somebody, once you know a client's hungry for something, but you haven't got enough time to kind of feed them the thing they need. And I think doing something like this is and creating a very quick graphic which expresses what you need, and they can go, right, I can buy into that. And can you do that before X amount of time? Yeah, I can do that. Right. I've got the re-artwork and everything. But I think that's a really important space as well at the moment, is that kind of just quickly getting an idea, but a designer has to deliver on it as well, not just come up with the first bit.
I think that's the challenge, right? Is how to, where to use it. It is a tool. It's like where to apply it, where not to apply it. But I'm seeing a bunch of AI with a cross across it, you know, no AI. sentiment going around from designers. And then surprisingly, a lot of young designers, which I would think the younger designers would be like all into this, but they're like, yeah, I've just seen a lot of anti-AI sentiment.
You can understand it. I can understand because we don't know really where this is going. And I can see it from a younger person's perspective as well, because they're coming into this, haven't they got an established career. And if it doesn't go their way, it kind of takes the rug out from underneath what they're doing. You see what I'm saying? And it's one of those technologies which they should be getting involved in, because it's this idea that being a string tuber might not be the same thing to these people. I think from a creative director's perspective, somebody who can work out what he wants, she wants, and to visualize it and make it happen, you'd usually have a team of people to help you do that. Now, suddenly, you are very quickly cutting out a bunch of people to get to a space you'd usually get to with a few phone calls and a 3 extra days, you know. I can see it from their perspective. I can see that from an illustrator's perspective as well. Mm-hmm. You might want to call upon them once you've established what that idea is, and then go, right, I need somebody to now actually execute this really, really well. Because I've not seen anything really from AI which you can use as artwork, you know, which you can actually take away and go, yeah, this is the finished thing. This is what we're going to use. We're going to upscale it, and we're going to make it look really cool. There's always problems, you know. And I think you do need to have an eye over that, which is a creative or illustrator. So there's lots of scope and space there. But I can completely see them worrying. I've made up a little graphic as a little beating heart, which is an AI3 heart I put on some things, which is more tongue-in-cheek than anything. But it's a fun thing to point out to people, rather than try to sort of knock out what's happening as a new technology. It's probably better to celebrate what we've already got. So these two things can be sitting side by side. Yeah. One's AI and one's real life. And I think it might get to that point. And I made an analogy. When they invented natural diamonds were a thing for De Beers, obviously. Mm. And when human-made diamonds come along, it was a worry for them. Well, it turned out the human-made diamonds, which we can make easily now, were so perfect. Everybody wanted the real thing still, you know. So it didn't affect the beers at all. In actual fact, what it made it do is actually increase the value of natural diamonds. So maybe that sort of scenario we end up in, because you might get to appreciate the human element rather than the AI thing, because you can make something happen on it, but you can't always focus it, you know. And you can definitely spot a piece of real human art as well at the moment.
Yeah, I see. Like the big challenge at the moment is that AI has been trained on certain artists, right? There's a whole list online. There's a Google Doc that tells you all the artists that have trained this and that haven't. I don't say that the artists trained it, but that have been trained on these specific artists, because nobody's given consent, and that's the legal side of this.
Yeah.
So on the flip side of this, like, how does it feel if somebody starts using prompts and starts training this on Kevin Russell, right, on your illustrative style?
Yeah.
And starts generating, you know, art based on what you do.
Yeah. I mean, that is, if you are one of the bigger artists, that is definitely a problem for you, you know. And then what happens after that? Once the does it turn into a sort of a mirror, pacing to a mirror, when you get more art out there, which is not named by that artist, but it's still out there in the ether. What happens to that art? Does it become more sort of softened, rounded? Are we going to have a fresh pool of people wanting to feed into that pool of new art? Mm. Does it stop? You can see why people go, well, what's the point in some respects? Because we've got to the point now where everything's in the mix. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got what we need in some respects. And we can pull up the drawbridge. Are we there? Hopefully not, you know.
Yeah.
I know there's legal things happening at the moment, but I've not got my finger on the pulse on that one. And I think they're challenging Midjourney's the model. And I think there's, because it has been taken from the internet and scraped from multiple artists and things, there's definitely something there to be happening. I can, they've definitely got a really strong legal case if that's their work, and you can actually link it through and show people the visual similarities. Yeah. It's a problem. How do you feel about that? How do you think that's
Yeah, you know, I see both sides, man. As a designer, if I wanted to, if I'm in the early stages of a concept and I want to see what it would look like through the eyes of, I don't know, Dolly, whoever.
Yeah.
And it gives me some variations of that style. You know, if he were alive, you know, if it's a living artist, I can then go, hey, you know, this is what I want to do. And I can make sure that they're the right person I'm bringing on. You know, I can try out multiple people versus reaching out to them and being committed to one person, then realizing, you know, maybe this isn't the right thing. So it gives, you know, that's the benefit that I see. On the downside, of course, for that artist, they're like, oh, well, you know, you're able to basically create some, at some point, this will be able to create, you know, final version types of at least print, you know, flat print ads and, you know, website layouts and stuff like that. So, you know, that part does suck.
Yeah. It does suck. And I think when it can, work out how to do copy, which won't be long now. We're talking probably less than a year when it works fonts and copy, and really accurate fonts and really accurate copy. And you plug it into another module which actually writes a copy for you. So you write your copy. Well, you don't write your copy, you get an AI to write your copy for you. And it's intelligent enough to read the copy and come out with a layout or a website, you know, something beautiful. And we're not far from that. I think that's the problem with trying to sort of pre-guess all this stuff, you know. It's moving so incredibly quickly.
I mean I tell everyone, I'm like, you can't even imagine how fast this is moving. And unless you're actually in it and moving stuff around and using it, you don't realize how quickly it's moving. You know, three weeks ago text was like just, you know, hieroglyphics, right? It was just chunks.
Exactly.
Today you're getting letters and you're getting font styles, which you know, even if it's like a hand lettering, even if it's like a hand lettered thing, like from start to finish, it's all done in the same style.
And you're getting nice combinations as well.
Even though you can't read it, you know,
you get the gist of it, you know.
For sure.
It's
mind blowing.
It is mind blowing. It is, and this is why I don't try to. I'm not, you know, I've got more questions than I have answers and stuff when I write about it. It is kind of, it's more sort of finding our way in the dark and asking questions about where it's going to go. Like I say, I mean, I think the legal side of this will start shaping how it works out. Hopefully, I mean, it'd be a shame if we do lose that freedom. And a bit of me says, well, it's not fair to have that much freedom at your fingertips as well. It's a difficult one. I mean, they might have to delete the models they've got and start doing what a photo library does, is pay artists individually, sign up, and have to measure that somehow.
You know? Like, how is this going to shape trends, right? Because I know, like, for packaging, you know, specifically packaging, I'm getting a lot of, even though they're all completely different, there are some similarities where maybe, you know, if you've got a tall bottle, for example, it's splitting the graphics like 50-50. So on the bottom, you might have some, like, really wild artwork, and then on the top, it's just like a hard cut that you wouldn't necessarily make as a designer, because it's like in a weird place. And then there's a text, or, you know, it changes the design. But because I'm seeing that so often, I'm wondering, is that going to become a trend? Right?
It will do. Yeah, of course. Inevitably. I mean, and
it's kind of looking cool. You're going, oh, I never thought I'd do that.
Aesthetically, you go, well, I wouldn't think to do that. I wouldn't even put the copy. I wouldn't even put the headline or the brand label at the bottom of the bottle. And I've done a couple of bits of pieces. I'm not a packaging. I'm into design advertising. But what I do is visualize things all the time. So when it comes to bottle, I want to have them a certain way. That's it. But it puts the brand or the product at the bottom of the bottle, and it looks really, really good. And usually you kind of, you know, two-third it on the way up or something, you know, and give it a bit of space at the top, a little bit. And you go, wow, shit, that's actually really, that's really sophisticated. I didn't think of doing that. And it's Fraser. There's no reason why you shouldn't.
Yeah. I'd say like one thing that it's done is, you know, I've kind of brushed up on my, my art history.
Right? Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like, you know, you're all of a sudden you're using, you know, Rococo and, yeah. you know, these different terms and, you know, different art, you know, different artists, different styles that you typically don't use, you know, you're not throwing these words around in your brief normally. So I see that as a benefit, but I think, you know, I spoke to a creative director that's a copywriter, and he's like, you know, as a copywriter, he's like, I can have a little bit more power wielding this because I have a better power over the language.
Than
like a visual artist who's just focusing on like the visual results. So I think it does help. I don't know. It makes you a stronger designer if you communicate.
Yeah. Now, this episode is brought to you by IDPDirect.com, sustainable luxury packaging manufacturer. They're factory direct. They own factories and they actually produce the packaging and they deliver it to you with an online ordering process. Everything you possibly need to create packaging without having to buy it through a middleman, which means you cut out middleman markups, which means you might save some money. Check them out. It's also brought to you by SpecRite, specrite.com. They are the specifications management platform. So if you've got a brand that's got thousands of SKUs, of which you have no idea what each one of their packaging specifications are, SpecRite. SpecRite handles all that stuff. Your project management, your materials, your ordering, everything that you possibly need in order to manage an unwieldy amount of packaging, specrite.com. Now, if you're like a D2C brand that you've just launched out of your garage and you've got like three boxes that you're ordering from Uline, you don't need SpecRite, right? Not everybody needs every solution out there. So don't waste your time. But if you've got tons, if you're like a P&G or something gigantic, check out specrite.com. And this is also brought to you by Packdora. Packdora is an amazing website, packdora.com. You go there, you type in the size of the box that you want, the size of the bag that you're wanting to design. It creates an entire die line for you. It also creates a 3D rendering that can fold up and close and do all the cool things that the box that you're wanting to design is going to do. You can then place your artwork on each of those panels. It'll create a killer rendering that you can use in presentations without having to create actual samples. It'll vet the artwork and you're ready to go.
I mean, I think it makes you, like you say, you need to have that bank of knowledge behind it, that kind of art history thing. I mean, I did it many years ago, art history, but as you go along in the industry, you pick up more as you go. So you, straight away, you've got like, you know, lots of options in your head to choose from. Even if you can't remember each one, you can do a little bit of research. Oh, yeah, it's that artist. I remember how it works. Yeah. And you've never been able to do that before, you know. It's trying to explain to somebody, and then given the artist, and it doesn't really do the job, and actually go showing them what it's supposed to look like, you know. Yeah. And it's, I think, like we just talked about earlier, that first phase of design, it's incredibly quick to get stuff in reality, you know. And people ask me, well, how would you do this? I think, well, I don't know how I would do that. But it looks good, and where there's a will, there's a way. You know, if you want to make this happen, if you want to have a glass etched in a weird way, which nobody's ever thought of before, even if it looks like an accident on the screen, let's have a go at it. You know, maybe there's a new technique to be found here to make this stuff happen. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Exactly. And I'm looking at your JetSpeed hat that you're wearing there. You know.
Yeah. I've got no connection to ice hockey. I just
like the look of it. No, cool. No, I just I started doing mock-ups in AI, right?
Yeah.
So you can type in a type of a hat, and it'll knock out like a white mock-up on a white background or a dark background.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, easy enough. You can just throw those into Photoshop, and now you can use that, you know, for mock-ups versus having to go to a mock-up, you know, find some weird free mock-up site that you don't know how many viruses you're downloading, or you're paying $20 for a mock-up, you know? Mm. There's definite use cases like at the moment, and the hats I've downloaded have, you can see the threads, you can see the weave in the cover and the,
it's crazy.
Like it's insane. Like the quality of detail. Yeah.
I've been doing, board games. I don't know if you've seen any of those I've been doing. It does board games really well. You never get to do them. I've never done a board game in my life. But And I did one for, I just pulled a kind of a theme, and I decided to use Sun Tzu's Art of War as an idea, because it obviously it lends itself really well to it. And it just came through amazingly well. I mean, without too much tweaking, it just nailed it immediately. And suddenly, if you're trying to get funding for something like this, and you're on a kind of funding site, to suddenly have this at your hands and people can visualize this, they'll buy it on the strength of the graphics alone quite often. Yeah.
So what was your what did you expect it to look like? Because what is delivered is so complete, it's insane.
I didn't expect that. No. I think my first thing was just board game and photorealistic, and I think it was Unreal Engine I put in there just to sort of tidy up the ends and fill the extra bits, added the cards, added the lighting, or most of the shading, all that sort of stuff. And you have people contact me saying, I buy this now on the strength and look of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got one here. It looks like it's got like some kind of a lizard line on the top of it, but yeah, you've got like it shows you the box. There's type on it. And you've got all the cards, all the playing pieces.
Yeah. Mm. Mm.
I can get
an idea to tie it all together now. Sometimes looking at these things, the ideas come anyway. I've been playing with this, like creating world building in films as well. So if you do that, if you're a costume designer, looking at the character, so you ask for a character or you put in an idea of a character, and it does the costume. It does the costume so beautifully, and it fits in so many ideas and. It even puts the scenes in a beautiful way, and the cutting or panels and material in perfect places, which kind of look really beautiful. I think that's one industry we're going to see affected enormously is the movie industry.
Yeah,
we're going to see a massive change there. I think we're going to see, especially for things like sci-fi and fantasy and all that kind of stuff. It's going to blow our minds, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm excited. I'm looking at some, like the motorcycle that you put together. You've done a bunch of vehicles.
Yeah.
And they're all like, these are just, these are in beautiful vehicles that are on just a white backdrop. It's all like a seamless background, which at the moment are the most impressive, I think. When you get a beautiful image on a seamless white background, because everything is so cluttered right now.
Exactly.
It seems really precise.
That's why an art director comes in and they clean it all up. And you've got in your head, if you know what you want, those small textures to pop, and you want people to notice them, you clean up everything, and you put it in a kind of a really sterile environment, and it kind of it just looks really cool, especially if it's all a bit falling to pieces, a bit rusty, and that sort of thing. I've been really into Chris Foss, which is the designer. From the 70s, and he designed spaceships, and he ended up doing Guardians of the Galaxy. He did the first one, and he did all the spaceships and that. But he's kind of really old school guy. He lives in Guernsey, which is just off the coast of England, and they kind of called him back in again. But I love his sort of designs and his artwork, and it's always kind of great big spaceship shapes with tiny little windows. Almost like insect-like colors around it and insect-like markings and very kind of industrial and utilitarian sort of thing. And I'll kind of transpose that onto a motorbike, which seemed like a really good idea. And it works, it works really well.
So as an illustrator and, you also do silk screening, you do posters, you do all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
At what point are you going to take this and start silk screening?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've got somebody I'm working with at the moment who wants to just take a lot of what I'm doing and just print it outright, which is cool. Which I've started to do some artwork today for that. How I use this in that space, I've not worked it out yet. I think things like I want to get into murals more, interior murals. In offices and things, I think it's going to be really useful for that, for quickly generating. Yeah. Say, for example, you've got lots of words and you want to do a layout and that sort of stuff. to generate that sort of thing. That might be really useful. And then I want me to be in there still as well. I want to have a play a part in this, not just do the
tweaking. Not just be the hands for the machine.
Yeah, I don't want to be a conduit for this brain, which I'm kind of funneling me through the world. So I haven't worked that out. I mean, at the moment, I'm seeing the whole thing much more of a kind of early stage ideas generation tool. I'm really reluctant to kind of put my name to it all in, you know. And if I do, it goes under another name. It goes under Dark Forces AI. I've separated my what I do, my system, what I've been doing for years from the AI, just to make a clean break. I don't want to be accused of anything, you know. I don't want to feel like I'm conning anybody or misleading people, so I'm going to make it really clear. And also, where I have been, when it all is mine, I have my little kind of heart thing, where my little stamp, which says, I did this. But there may be a strength in that, there may not be, I'm not sure, you know. But there's a question mark and a kind of general feeling of people are not sure about all this, fair enough. And there's, I'm not sure what the word is. Yeah, people are just untrustworthy, I think, at the moment. Everybody's questioning everything they're seeing, you know. You flick through LinkedIn or wherever. You double check, you double think everything now. You know, you see a nice illustration. I'm going, right, is that? Do you know what I mean? And it's undermining us in some respects.
I had a creative director reach out, and he's like, I'm getting a ton of questions on AI. I'm no expert. I'm just using it nonstop. Right. I don't think there are experts at this point, but I had a creative director reach out to me, and he says, are you sure that this is AI? Like, how do you know that these images aren't just pulled straight from somebody else's work? I'm like, that's not how it really works, but I can't imagine that that's how it works, but I mean, it could be, but I don't think so.
It's getting tricky, and it's going to get trickier as well. Yeah, it's just a matter of time, but I don't know how much of us needs to be in it either. You know, at what point do we have to be in it at all? If you think about what something like Klaviyo does already, which is basically does a job of what a junior designer used to do for a small business. So that's done for some people. So I don't know how far this is going to push into where we are. I mean, every revolutionary kind of change doesn't make us any good, doesn't ever give us any more time or make us any less busy, you know.
Yeah. that's good. That's margins, a good point.
Yeah, it pushes the margins, squeezes everything, and we're all still working late, you know, because everybody knows the technology is there. So that always gets pushed.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Sorry. Yeah, I think it's good. It's good that you got business. You know, people are calling you. when Photoshop came out, people were upset about Photoshop. It took all this, you know, all these skills and put them into the computer, but everybody still uses it, right? This still feels a little bit different than Photoshop, where Photoshop, I actually have to learn how to use the tools. And where this, you know, within 10 minutes, you're gone.
You're away. I've noticed people actually putting themselves out there kind of as experts already quite quick. You know, they've got out the gates very early, and which is fair enough. But I can't remember what they call themselves now. I think there's a name for them, isn't there? Somebody who can write these things. But if presumably when we're writing our prompts, that's going into a piece of AI which learns how to write good prompts. You know, this is surely that's what's going on.
I asked Chat. The chat bot to, I'm like, hey, create a prompt for me. And it couldn't do it. I asked it to design, give me a prompt for packaging design of something. And it came back and gave me a whole story of how to design packaging. Like, you need to start sketching. And so it's not there yet.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I've found a decent copywriting piece of software, and it's a pretty good job. I had a job the other day. And I used it after I actually did the job or something. I might try that out. And we were writing copy for a script for a brand which had a lot of money. And this was me working for another agency, sort of freelancing. Yeah. I was with a partner last week. And we were writing scripts. And I said, I'm going to try it on this thing, on this AI. And it was a Larry David script. We had lots of money to spend. And we said, okay, let's go crazy. Let's imagine we're writing for Larry David. And I just wanted the scenario written up very quickly. And it really did get the tone right. And it got Larry David's sense of humor bang on. You know, it didn't get any big gags in there, but it made you chuckle. It made you chuckle and it made you go, that's really good, you know. Yeah. And what that could get me started on a certain route, you know, here, there, and everywhere, you know, you know where it's going in that. But it's a really good thought start for writing.
Yeah.
And I do use it. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you use it for what?
Oh, no, I was just saying, what I do is, I quite like writing. But what I do, the writing part of it is the fun bit. It's the first bit, isn't it? When you write that stuff down, you get it all out of your system, and it's kind of it's a stream of consciousness, and it's really good. And the hard bit is that kind of next 80% actually making it readable and doing the hard work. But the AI can handle a lot of that for you as well. It can take out obvious mistakes and bring up grammatical errors and sort of things really, really well. So that's helped as well. So.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I use Jasper for copywriting. And I'll write a bunch and then I'll just pump it in there to synthesize it and kind of dictate like how much, right? Cause I can take, 1,000 words and then it'll chop it down to, 50. Right. And it's like, that kind of says the same thing I said in a whole bunch of words, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's all clever as well. It's so clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super helpful. It's good stuff, man. So as we kind of start wrapping up here, like what are the opportunities that we're not seeing for this thing? Like, where does this go?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm struggling with where we are, you know. the opportunities, it's really hard to tell. For me, it's if it's going as it is, it's going to be amazing. And it's going to change the world. It's going to change the way we think about everything. You know, the way you think about design, the way you think about advertising. We can't even begin. It's like a mad, crazed animal, you know. I don't know where it's going to go, to be honest. Opportunities-wise, it may be good for the individuals who pick it up really early. It may be one of those kinds of things where we go for that phase of like we did with the internet, where lots of energy, lots of going on, like a kind of Cambrian explosion of stuff. And it all settles down into a kind of a much more kind of structured way of working. But I don't know. Yeah. What do you think? Where do you think the opportunities are?
Oh man, I don't know, but like I kind of see it like, you know, at the moment, and this is the example I use, you know, my refrigerator. I can hook up my refrigerator to Bluetooth and it can, you know, it can scan stuff as it goes in and it can tell me, hey, you're out of milk, and it can if I could hook it up to an app to order food so it can order the food for me. And I know like Amazon or, some of the grocery stores here in the US, you can give them a code to your door and they will deliver the food, walk into your house and put it into your refrigerator. Which is kind of weird. I wouldn't do that, but but the potential is there to connect all these different pieces and make that happen.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah. Wider. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be able to make really good food for us. You know, it's going to be able to cook and make absolutely delicious food from raw ingredients.
Yeah, but even sure, you know. But even like beyond that, it's like if my refrigerator then is able to track what I eat, it knows my tastes, it knows what I like, whether it's organic or vegan or whatever.
It might know what you like before you know what you like. It may be to work at something you've not tasted before, which you're going to really love.
So then, is the packaging that's being designed for that food, is it really being designed for me, or is it being designed for the persona that my refrigerator has crafted about myself?
That's an interesting one. When you get the packaging which is personally designed for you, I mean,
is it for me or is it for my fridge? Is it, decision, right?
But I was thinking that the packaging which is actually designed for individual people. So when you see it online, it knows your taste, it knows your visual. Taste as well. So when you see all these things in a row, it's got you. It knows what you're going to go for, And that packaging might be a different design for another person, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's crazy. So insane opportunities. I mean, the technology's out there to connect all these pieces to make that work.
Yeah. Yeah, just, it's, how, you know, how, go that way. It's how it's linked, isn't it? You know, it's like an iPhone. It used to make, you know, phone calls. And then you had a accelerator to it, and suddenly it's something else. Okay, it was a lightsaber the first round, but then you could do more with it. Yeah. You know, suddenly it's got a use, and you know, it's it can help people, disabled people, know if their grand's fallen over, all that sort of thing. So it's when you connect these things, it's endless. It feels like at the moment. I wouldn't want to say.
Mm. Yeah, no, good stuff, man. So just as we wrap up here.
Yeah, exactly.
It will change next week.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It would be great to chat again if you want to. I mean,
yeah, see where this where this ends up, man.
Exactly. So
if anybody's interested and they want to reach out to you, Kevin, learn more about you, see the AI art that you're doing, what's the best place for them to come?
Probably my Linktree, because I've got so much going on. That's probably the best place, which is Kevin_Russell on Linktree. So if you find Linktree, Kevin_Russell, that's where everything is. Thank you very much.
This was good to meet you, man. And it's been good to see what you're building on online. You're doing some crazy stuff. So I definitely recommend people to follow you on LinkedIn. I'll have all your links in the show.
Yeah, brilliant.
And those board games that you're doing are crazy. Insane, man.